Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
This is a bit of a selfish interview, but I think it's going to impact a lot of people. Because I know it's just not just me who is a nervous flyer, and I am scared of airplanes. Every one of them. They all frighten me. So yesterday, here in southern Ontario, I know, I heard you. Here in southern Ontario, some of the wind gusts hit close to 90 kilometers an hour. I know, I heard you. And in northern Alberta today, it's going to be roughly the same. So I was thinking, I sent an email to my good friend, Raymond Hall, former chair of the Air Canada Pilots Association, pilot for many years, flew the DC-9s, flew the Boeing 767 and 777 as captain, and a lawyer as well. And I sent an email to Raymond. I said, what I'd like to speak with you about is how do you deal with these sorts of weather events as a commercial pilot of a large airliner like those 767s you navigated across the skies? What do pilots look for as far as weather events are concerned? What gets you to decide not to fly? And how do you deal with those things? Raymond, thank you for thanks for coming on. How are you?
Always a pleasure, Roy. I'm well.
I can't believe you got on an airplane every day for years and years and years. It's just, I can't imagine. But I would feel very confident if I were on a plane and Captain Hall was sitting up front.
I'm honored.
So you have these massive wind events and rain events and snow events and ice events. It's Canada. This is the kind of weather we have. What is it that makes, where are the parameters for, yeah, we're going to fly, or not right now, or we're going to delay, or if you're in the air, we're not going to that airport, we're diverting?
Well, it's safety first, obviously. That's absolutely the highest priority and the first priority on every pilot's mind. And you balance your knowledge with your experience and rely heavily on weather forecasts, weather reports, particularly runway condition reports, wind reports, crosswind components, and that sort of thing. And don't take any chances. You just make sure that if you're going to proceed to an airport, that everything is within a wide margin of safety before you actually proceed. And, of course, you can divert en route. I've done that many times where the weather changes, particularly on really long flights. Say you can come out of Hong Kong and you're doing a 15-and-a-half-hour flight to Toronto. The forecast that you got before you left was over 15 hours out of date, and so the weather can change by the time you get there, and you have to carry enough fuel to get to one or more different choice alternates.
Okay. Now, you sent in your email to me your reply. You spoke about runway conditions and rejecting takeoffs and something called the JBI, the James Brake Index, and snow clearing and sanding critical to achieve a high JBI. This sounds like a foreign language to me. What are you telling us?
It's a measure of a friction coefficient that tells you how effective your stopping distance is. For example, after you touch down, you need to be able to bring the aircraft to a stop within the confines of the runway, obviously. Mm-hmm. And if you have a very low JBI, which you get with freezing rain, for example, the numbers go from 0 to 1. So if your JBI is 0.3, for example, you may not have enough distance to be able to stop within the confines of the runway. So that's one of the factors you take into consideration, the JBI reports, before you actually decide to land there.
Okay. Then we had an incident last week in Kitchener-Waterloo in Ontario where a Flair Airlines Boeing 737 overran the runway. These are very rare events, but they do concern the flying public. But fortunately, it is very rare, and I don't know what to say in addition to that. So,
Extremely rare, Roy, and that's because pilots exercise caution all the time. And sometimes they're surprised by the events. Perhaps the weather reports or the runway condition report were not accurate. So they get themselves into a situation where they were relying on the information that was available, and it's out of date. And that can change in a matter of minutes sometimes, depending on the particular airport and the facilities available.
So Raymond, if you're dealing with visibility issues, if it's low visibility, and in your email reply to me, you wrote, most large aircraft are certified for full auto land in almost zero visibility. I had no idea. That's very impressive.
Yes. It's classified in under a terminology called CAT 3A, and it requires a series of things all working properly. The equipment has to be installed in the aircraft. The pilots have to be trained for that type of landing. You have to have the appropriate pro-flight system. You have to have the appropriate centerline lighting on the runway, and the runway has to have a wind condition where the crosswind doesn't exceed 10 knots, for example. So when you put that all together, it can be done. And there have been cases where pilots have actually auto-landed and then had to get towed off the runway because they couldn't see the runway in front of them.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. Talk about technology. Now, when you're dealing with wind, like if you're wherever you are, if there's a 90-kilometer-an-hour wind, and you pointed out to me that aircraft take off and land into the wind, is a 90-kilometer-an-hour wind or wind gusts up to 90 kilometers an hour, is that enough to turn the key off and roll it back into the hangar?
Metaphorically.
Probably about 100, almost 100% of the time, I would say so, right? Okay. Because with the 90-kilometer gusts, you have variability in the wind and the conditions, usually with low visibility and that sort of thing. So after a certain point, when the wind gets over, say, 40 knots, which is like 60 kilometers an hour, then you have to be very concerned about whether or not you want to proceed. And the critical element of that is whether the wind is down the runway. Most major airports in Canada have more than one runway, so that you can always choose the runway to land into wind. And if the wind is directly down the runway, then what happens is the actual ground speed of the aircraft is reduced, because if you've got a 30 knot wind and a 120 knot landing, your airspeed is reduced. Your ground speed is reduced to 90 knots. So it's actually safer when the wind is down the runway and with a steady wind. But if the wind is variable, and particularly if the visibility is low, that could factor into the decision as to whether or not you want to proceed.
Okay, here's just a personal question. I never know when I'm on an air. First of all, I'm an uneasy flyer. I get on a plane with great reluctance. I don't think anything that big and that heavy should be 30,000 feet in the air with me sitting in it. So that's I don't mind the ocean. I've been on ships on the Atlantic and North Atlantic in January with the storm so heavy it pressed in the bow plates. I'm okay with that. It's got lifeboats. But how often do you decide? What makes a captain decide it's time to communicate with the folks in the back?
Communication is critical, and it's very important to have timely, accurate information, particularly if you're going to have difficulty, particular turbulence, or if you're going to divert. I always like to give the passengers the most up-to-date information, because and particularly now with iPhones, they can get information faster than you can get it. particularly if there's a low visibility at your destination airport, they can tell that because they have access to Wi-Fi and weather reports, aviation weather reports, and that sort of thing. So communication is extremely important. But being a nervous flyer is not unusual. You'll find good company there. One of my most interesting flights, the DC-9 from Edmonton to Vancouver, was where Wayne Gretzky came up to the cockpit. And I found out later that it was his regular habit. He was a nervous flyer, just like you are. And he insisted, this was before 9/11, of course, he insisted and was always greeted to sit in the extra seat in the cockpit for the landing so that he could see what was going on and comfort himself with the knowledge that everything was okay.
I understand that. I was on a DC-8, I think it was, on the way to the Caribbean years and years ago. And they invited me up onto the flight deck because I told them that I was nervous. And the flight attendant recognized me. Because, you know, she'd been in the studio. We'd done a program. She said, would you like to go up to the flight deck? Would I ever? And it's quite a different experience. And I'll never forget when we were arriving at the Caribbean airport. And the there was a communication between the tower and the plane. And they basically said, just follow the plane in front of you. And I thought, that's a little informal. But okay, then. It's just fine. Raymond, thank you very much. Oh, really quickly, is there a flight you can share with us, a moment where you...
Not a specific one, Roy, but the most difficult aviation circumstances are the thunderstorms and the line of thunderstorms you get across the prairies, in particular in the summertime. And those present real serious problems for being able to navigate and your decisions as to whether you go or not.
What do you do when you're in flight and there's a thunderstorm that appears in front of you? How do you deal with that?
What I did one time, coming out of Edmonton, going to Winnipeg, I got on the wrong side of a big line of thunderstorms in the summer, in July of that particular year, and I couldn't get through it without. And there is weather radar. We've got very good weather radar in the airplanes, but I couldn't penetrate it without taking a safety risk. So I just landed in Regina and waited it out, got some more fuel, and went to Winnipeg afterwards.
See, I'd fly with you anytime. Thank you, Raymond. I appreciate it. Just had the thought yesterday when the winds hit 90K, I thought, I've got to get in touch with Raymond about this.
That was quite a storm.
It was. And I was saying that also this was the time where possession is 9/10 of the law came into play, because your car would involuntarily move from your driveway into your neighbor's driveway. So.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.